Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf mem vav. We're holding three lines from the top of the Amid, and we are continuing to talk about the same sugya that we've been speaking about for the last 2 days. And that is the right of a ktana to get married is given over, is transferred to the father. As biti nasatil ishazeh, not only a ktana, but even a nara. And our Gemara over the last 2 days has been discussing what happens if a ktana took matters into her own hands and she accepted kesef kedushin from a chosin. Does that do anything? Yes or no? And you remember we had a discussion about this. We started on it on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where Ula said that a masa ktana is garnished. Two lines into the wide lines of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Oma Ula ktana shniskach shalei ledasavia. A filamiyanei trich. She doesn't need anything. The reason why she doesn't need anything, says Rashi, second wide line, she ain't maisa ktana klum b'chayavia. A ktana can't do anything. She doesn't have sufficient mental capacity, as we say, a cheshet v'kutin, our la b'nei dea. So she is a ktana. She doesn't have das. Her acceptance over the kesher kedushin is meaningless. Yet, a few lines above that, we had Rabin Shmuel that said, no. Tanish in the Scotch Lodasavia, Shmuel said, Tzricha get u Tzricha miun, and Rav agreed. And the Gemara said, what's the Svara of Rav and Shmuel that Tzricha get u Tzricha miun? I'm reading now from four lines before the wide lines on Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Tzricha get Shemin Isratza Abikidushin. In other words, the girl calls up her father, or comes home, and says, Tati, I got great news for you. The chusin, Yankel Smith, has proposed to me, and he gave me a ring, and I accepted. He said, "Hariat mekudeshesli," and we're married. That's great. And the father shvait. Shvait means he is silent. He says nothing. The question is, what is the legal effect? So both Rav and Shmuel said, "I'm concerned shema nisrata abi kedushin," even though he didn't verbalize anything. Just the fact that he was silent, it could be shtikin kahidah, and therefore the kedushin was a good kedushin lima freya, and the girl and the boy are married. On the other hand, we require also a miun, because maybe loinis ratza at. After all, the father didn't say anything, he's silent. Since we don't know exactly what his intentions are, presumably we're talking about a situation where afterwards the father traveled away, so we can't ask him. So he is silent. Maybe he was not maskim to the shidduch. And if he's not maskim to the shidduch, if we're going to go and say that we require a get, because maybe this was a proper ritzah and a proper kedushin, she's going to get a get. And then after that, that same chosin is going to go and propose to marry the sister of this girl, people will say, that's gornish. Ain't kedushin toivsin ba'choise isha la'choise le'sikach litzrar. You can't. Even though he's no longer married to the first, you cannot marry the second one. Bechayeha, it's awesome. So kedei the people shouldn't say that ain't kedushin toivsin. We go and require also a miun to show that this is all a suffix situation, not a bade situation. Okay, this was all back on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Now we continue on here on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, third line. And we're going to again talk about Rav. Itmar Ktanish in Iskatsha Shaloi the Dasavia. On the same case that we're talking about until now. A 10-year-old girl accepts Kesef Kedushin without her father's knowledge. And then the father finds out about it a day later, 2 days later, and he is Shoisi. He doesn't say anything. Okay, so Rav would hold that if he says absolutely nothing, then Shema Nisrata Av, and she requires a get. Shemaloi Nisrata Av, and she requires a miyun, like we had on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Gemara over here now explores a different angle, and that is what happens if, in fact, the father is Ma'akev. In other words, when he hears the news that his daughter is married to this Yankel Smith, he says, Yankel Smith? That's the last person in the world that I would want to marry her off to. And he's ma'akib. Then clearly if he says aloy mitan al, if he says no, then the marriage is off. The only reason why we said according to Rav and Shmuel, tzricha get, is because maybe the husband, the father heard about this situation, and he was shoysik, and then it works the mafreya. If you look at the second choices, bein he bein avi yichoy la'akiv, the alpha gav the omer rav the el, even though Rav said back on them dalem abeis, chayshin Hashem nesatza av, hayne mistama, that's the case where it's tam, shishama, vishosak, he heard, and he was quiet. Avleich of the nicho gilim adatoi, once he said, no, I don't want this marriage, he was megalitas. Okay, that's an extra. The point is, Tosis says a very clear understanding and distinction between Mem Dalan and Beis and Mem Bavam and Aleph. Mem Dalan and Beis is talking about that the father was Shoisik, and therefore I'm saying Shem and Nisratza Av, and we require a get mitzad sofek. However, our Gemara is talking about that the father says, no, I do not want this marriage. The marriage is off. The marriage is meaningless because she did it shalei the das of her, and after all, she's lav b'nei dayan inu. She's a chaktana. The chiddush of our Gemara is not only that the father can go be ma'akev, but ibein he, she can also be ma'akev. What do you mean she can also be ma'akev? Tuesday afternoon, the chosin proposed to her and gave her a ring and said hurry up mekudeshesli, and she smiled. That was on Tuesday. Thursday, the father finds out about it, and he is furious. And he said, no, I will not let you go to this chosin, because I think this chosin is a bad guy. So then Rav says, the father can be ma'akiv. What Rav additionally says is, before the father reacted so terribly on Thursday, what happens if on Wednesday, she, the girl herself, had second thoughts? And she says, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm not interested. Can she just change her mind? Zokt Rav, yes. She can also be ma'akiv. Rashi says very clearly that if the father hasn't made up a decision, look at Rashi, yichoyl la'akiv, fourth narrow line of the Rashi, yichoyl la'akiv, hoyul b'shas kabbalo lo nisratza'av, since at that time the father was not involved and he was not nisratza, he didn't agree, he didn't know. In bus, if afterwards she comes, Lachser, koydim she isratza ab, before the father says anything, and she says, I changed my mind, choyzeres. Even if the father subsequently says, yeah, this is a great idea, makes no difference, since she has already pulled the plug on her own marriage. On Tuesday she agreed, Wednesday she gives the money back and says, I changed my mind, even though Thursday the father says, hey, you should have stayed with Yaakov Smith, he's a nice guy. Once she pulled the plug on it, it's all over. So Rav says, "Ben he ben avi yechoyim la'akev." Ravasi Omar avi avlohi. Only the father can be ma'akev. She can no longer be ma'akev. Once she took the ring, she cannot change her mind. The father can change his mind. Not that he changes his mind. The father can say no, but she cannot change her mind. Breitimar eisve Ravuna l'Ravasi. So Ravuna asks on Ravasi. Remember, Ravasi is the second man the Omer that says, Avia Velahi, she cannot change her mind. The Amri, the other say, wasn't Ravuna, was Chia Barav, asked the Ravasi. It says in the Pasik, Kimoin Yimoin Avia Lesitoloi, Kesef Yishko Kimoir Hapsulais. Now, what is this referring to? If you have the Torah or Asholem, you have Oisius, Aleph, and Beis, and you can start with Beis first, because Beis comes earlier in the Torah. The Chiafate Ish Psula Asherloi Eirosa Veshochav Ima. You have a not a nice guy, goes over to a psula, nara, roptana, and is mafata. Mafata means seduces her, and unfortunately lives with her. V'shochav ima. Shteit on the posik, moher imarena loyli isha. The consequence of his actions are that he has to go and marry her. He is stuck with her. If he was shochav ima, he is stuck. Now what happens if this guy is a sheikh? And in all likelihood he is a sheikh, because otherwise why would he engage in a masa pitoy against a ktana or nara? So the next pasuk says, "Emoin yemoin avia lesitoloi." If the father says, he should be my Aden, he should be my son-in-law, forget about it. Okay, then there is no marriage. Kesef Yishko Kamer Absulas, he has to go and pay a kanas, and the kanas is chamishim shekel. Says the Gemara, what about if she doesn't want to marry him? she feels that he is a creep. After all, he was mafat to her and lived with her, and she was previously a psula, and now she's a bu'ula. So the question is, what happens if she refuses? She says, no, I don't want to marry him. I only know Aviyah because the Pasuk says, imoin yimoin Aviyah. He asked for Yinayin, how do we know that she can also turn him down? The double lashon comes to tell you, the father and the daughter. Now, the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that the pitui and the shachav ima, the bia that he had with her, was the shame kiddushin. And that was the way he wanted to mekadesh her. Instead of giving her kesef or shtar, he lived with her, bia. After all, the first Mishnah, isha niklas b'sholish drachim, kesef b'shtar b'bia. That's what he intended, and guess what? The pasuk says that after that bia, the father can object, and she can object. No, so that's the same case as our Gemara. Tanish in Iskach, Shaloi Ladas Aviyah, says Rab Bein Hi Ben Aviyah Chayin Liakev. So why does Ravasi say Aviyah Velohi when I have a Befeirish Apostle that says that not only can the Aviyah be Ma'akev, but he Atzma Minayin, and it says Imoin Yemoin Mikol Mokoim. Omlu Rav. So even though this is favorable to Rav, Rav has what we call intellectual integrity, and Rav said, no. That pasuk in Nishkarai, v'tezlu baser ipka, that's an expression, v'tezlu baser ipka, don't go and give explanations which are meaningless, which are nonsense. Yochel v'shnu yelechu, I can easily answer, k'goin shepita, sh'loi v'shem ishus. This pasuk is not talking about that he was mafater and shochav ima under the pretext or in the context of getting married, but rather, he wanted to have a good time. And Pitui, as you know, is slightly different than being ma'anis. He spoke to her in a very enticing way, and she was enticed, and they lived together. Well, she doesn't have too much seichel, she's only ketana or nara. But anyway, she agreed. But it wasn't the Shem Kedushin, it was Shaloi the Shem Kedushin. And now the Torah tells us, you're stuck with her. If you agreed to go, not if you agreed, if you went and lived with her, b'chiyafata ish p'sula shaloi harasa, now you got to go and take her for a wife. And then the pasuk says, however, if the father or the daughter do not want him for a husband for this young lady, then they can stop it. So that really has no bearing on our case, where the ketana was niskansha shalei v'dasavia. She willingly agreed to a kedushin. In such a case, could be the Ravasi is right, Aviyah v'lohi. In other words, we have no direct raya from the Pasuk against Ravasi, because we're talking about apples and oranges. Rav and Ravasi are talking about where the Kedana accepted Kedushin Shaloi L'das Aviyah, question whether she can change her mind. This Braisa and this Pasuk is talking about that there was a Bia L'Shem Kedushin. I'm sorry. Just the opposite. That was the Havamina. The Teretz of the Gemara is talking about a Bia Shaloi V'Shem Kedushin, just to have a fling, to have a good time together, the boy and the girl. And now the question is, the Torah says he has to go and marry her now. Oh, but the Torah also says that the father or the girl can say, no, we disagree. So therefore, that has nothing to do with the case scenario of Rav and Ravasi. We're talking about Ketanish Niskadja. Here we're talking about that the bia was shaloi l'shum ishus. Frank the Gemara, that teretz l'chayre is wrong. Pita shaloi l'shum ishus. Kroboi, if the whole pitoi was shaloi l'shum ishus, just to have a good time, do I have to have a posik to tell you that the father and she can be ma'akev? What means ma'akev? That she didn't get married. So what is the moin yemoin that we're talking about? That we're saying that as a result, if you look at Rashi, Kroboi, parallel to our Gemara, Kroboi lemeimad yoviya yochel la'akev v'cheini, u'meheichateisen lan la'oyisra, mehi ve'ila, lemeimad kedushin hein. What would even be the half a minute to go and say that they're married and now the father or the daughter can protest? Nothing happened. I mean, there was a mice sabir, but it was shaloi v'shem kedushin, it was nothing. So of course, both of them can say, no, I will not let her go to this boy. because she's not married. And they say, get out of here, we don't want to see you again. So I don't need the imoin of Vilas Italoi. You're 100% right. It was a pitui shaloi lishum ishus. And of course, the father and the daughter can protest and say, stay out of our lives. There was no kiddushin. The point of the pasuk is not about the miyun that they can say no. The point is the kes of yishko kemoir apsulais. Because if the father or the daughter agree that this young man should go and marry her, then moher yimarena loyli isha. Then he has to go and take her, give her a ksuba, and the ksuba would say 200 zuz, and there'll be husband and wife. However, if the father or the girl say, no, we don't want a kiddushin over here, forget about it, this guy is a shegetz, and no goodnik, then the Torah says, okay, the other option is kesef yishko gemar absolais. He has to go and pay the knas of 50 shkolim. And therefore, zokti gemara, the psukim work out beautifully. And once again, we do not have a kasha on Rav Asi from the pasuk, because Rav Asi is talking about a ktana sheniskad shesholid asaviya, and the pasuk over here is talking about a pitoy sheloy lishem ishus. So we're talking apples and oranges, no kasha. Only Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef now continues. Ihachi. Now the lashon of ihachi is a little bit tricky, because normally ihachi would start a kasha. Ihachi, if that's the case, I did it to me. No, I have a kasha from the following braisa. However, both Rashi and Tosis learn that this ihachi, in fact, is a raya. And what Rav Yosef is saying is, ihachi, now that we've had this discussion, then I'll bring you a raya from a braisa that what you're saying is absolutely correct. That what? That the pasuk is not talking about that they lived together l'shem kiddushin, but it was a pitoy shaloi l'shem kiddushin. What's the raya? Look at the braisa. The braisa says, moher yimarena loyli isha. If the two agree, the father and the daughter, to go ahead with this shidduch, shetzriche menu kiddushin. You need now a new kiddushin. The more Yimarena Lele Isha tells you that he has to go and marry her and give her now a ring and go through the whole 9 yards of Eresin and Nisuin. Like any time a Bocher wants to go and marry a Kala, Chosin wants to marry a Kala. Shetzriche menu kiddushin. Ah, says Narav Yosef, Vimpita Lashum Ishus. If you're telling me that the original Bia was Lashum Ishus, like we thought in the Havamina, Kiddushin Lamali. What do we need a new Maisa Kiddushin if subsequent to that Pitu Lashum Ishus, the father says, and the girls say, yes, we're maskim to the Shidduch, we think this is a nice boy, notwithstanding that what he did is not a nice thing, but if they agree, we're done. So what is this Moriam Rena Leili Isha? What is the Braisa saying? You need a new Kiddushin. You don't need a new Kiddushin. They're already married. All you need now is the consent, the nodding of the father. Therefore, I see from this Braisa, L'choyra, a clear cut raya, says Rav Yosef, that the Pasuk is talking about a Pitoy Shaloi L'shem Ishus. And there, both the father and the daughter can stop it. They can imoin yimoin. And Rav Asi is talking about a case of Ketanish Niskadsha. And that's why Aviyah V'lohi. And again, apples and oranges, no kasha on Rav Asi. And therefore, Rav Yosef says, the Braisa is Meduya Kochi. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, with all due respect, you don't have a clear-cut rai from this Braisa, because it could mean when it says in the Braisa, Shetzricha Himenu Kiddushin, it means Tzricha Kiddushin L'das Aviyah. What the Braisa is really saying is that I don't know what the father's views are. In other words, you could theoretically learn that the Pasuk is talking about a Pitoy L'shum Ishus, to go and get married, full-fledged marriage. That was the Pitoy, that was the intention. Now the imoin yemoin is that now we need that the father should agree to that kiddushin. How does he agree? That when he hears about it, either he says full throat, yes, I'm delighted, or I'm willing to accept this kiddushin, or at the very least, like we had in Mem Dalet Amud Beis, that he's shoysik, and from hishtikosai we will assume shem and isratza av. And that's what the Bryce is saying over here. Tzricha menu kiddushin doesn't mean a brand new Maisa Kedushin. It really means we need a Kedushin with Das Aviya, that the father should say, Yo, yo, I think this is a great marriage, a great Kedushin, and I'm very happy with it. And therefore, bottom line, Abaye says we have no right. So, the conclusion of the Gemara is that we have no clear-cut raya as to what the Pasuk is referring to, this pitui, the shum ishus, or pitui, shulor, the shum ishus. And therefore, since we don't have a clear-cut raya, we do not have a kasha on Ravasi, and we remain then with a machlokes between Rav and Ravasi, what would happen whether the girl, after she accepted the kesef kedushin, whether she can change her mind prior to the Av saying that he is Misratza and that he agrees. And now we start a new Mishnah with a new Sugya. We spoke about this a couple of days ago in the Gemara, as you'll recall, so it should be pretty clear to everybody. It says the Mishnah, what is this all about? The chosin and the kala are here together under the chuppah, and instead of the chosin giving her a beautiful ring, he takes out a bunch of dates. And he says to her, Hiskatshili bitmorezu, I give you one date, and I mekadesh you with this date. We're not talking about a date where you meet together in a restaurant or a museum or whatever. What we're talking about, or in Central Park, we're talking about the physical dates that you eat and you make a borei priya eitz. Good. So now he gives it.
What if her name was Tamar?
Oh. In Yiddish we'd say, no, Tamar, her name was Tamar, what should we do? Tamar, maybe. Perhaps. Okay. Very good. Shkoyach Shali. So getting back to our Gemara. So they have the chosin gives the kala his kachali b'tomorazu. Here, I give you a tomorrow, be mekudeshes to me. Then he gives her a second one, his kachali b'tomorazu. And then he gives her a third one, his kachali b'tomorazu. And this goes on for 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 tomorrows. Each time he always throws in the words his kachali b'tomorazu. Zok the Mishnah, im yesh ba'achas man, if at least one of these tomorrows is worth a shava pruta, mekudeshes. V'im lav, and if none of them independently is worth a shava pruta, even though if you collect them all together, the 5 or the 10 or the 100 tomorrows together is worth a shava pruta, sorry, ainu mekudeshes. However, if he only says the word hiskachi once, and he's dispensing the tomorrows one at a time, and he says to her, hiskachili bezu, 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 bezu. He didn't repeat his kach, he just said bezu numerous times. What's the halacha then? In Yeshua Pruta Mikulan Mikudeshes. Then I do add together the Tamarim, and if I have a Yeshua Pruta Mikulan, in other words, even though each individual one is only worth a quarter of a Pruta, half a Pruta, if I add together 5 or 10 or 20, I have a Yeshua Pruta Mikudeshes. Vimlav, if all the Tamarim together are not worth a Yeshua Pruta, ain't a Mikudeshes. What's the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? We'll see in a moment, and the Gemara goes a little bit to Reb Shimon, that there's a difference between Kolal Uporat when it comes to Hilchos Shvuos, and we're going to use the Hilchos Shvuos as a template for our Mishnah. We'll see that in a moment. And now the Mishnah continues with a third case. Hois Oicheles Rishoina Rishoina. He started giving her the Tmorais, and instead of collecting them together, she starts eating them one by one. And then at the end of the dispensing of the tomorrows, after 10 or 20 or 100, what happens now? Eina mekudeshes, achehei biachas mehen shevapruta, unless at least one of them was worth a shevapruta. The question is, this hoisa oicheles, is this a modification on the reisha? Hiskachi, hiskachi, hiskachi? Or is this a modification of the Sefer, where he said, bezu, bezu, bezu? And we'll see that in the Gemara in Mirat Hashem in another couple of lines. The Gemara will discuss it. So we start the Gemara. It says in the Mishnah, man tan hiskachi, hiskachi. Who's the one that says that there's a difference between if you say hiskachi a few times, or if you say bezu, bezu a few times? Amarav Reb Shimoni, that's the famous Reb Shimoni, Amar Achi Oymar, Shmuel L'chol Echad V'Echad. Now, this Rashi over here just basically says, look up Masechta Shavuos. But the reason is because Rashi already explained this in some detail back on Daf Mem Dalet. 2 days ago we had this Gemara, as you recall. What did it say in the Gemara at that time? Let's just quickly review what the Hilcha Shavuos are. You have a person who was a shomer of Pigdoinais. And now 5 people come to that shomer and say, you know what? You were holding on behalf of me my gold watch. I want you to give the gold watch back to me. That's what 5 individuals say to the shomer. It's called them Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar. And this shomer says, it's not true, I don't have any gold watch. Not you, nobody. They go to Beis Din, and the Beis Din says, you have to make a Shavuos HaPikudon. And he makes a Shavua. And he says to the 5 people, he looks at Reuven, Shavua that I don't have a Pikudon from you. Shimon, Shavua that I don't have a Pikudon from you. Levi, Shavua that I don't have a Pikudon from you. And so on and so forth. Each one he said, I do not have a Pikudon. Guess what happens now? When it comes the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, or perhaps even in Chodesh Elul, the Shomer starts having some Hirhurei Tshuva, and he confesses and says, the truth of the matter is, yes, I did have the gold watch after all. When he made such a full Tshuva, and he makes a confession, the Torah says he has to go and bring now Asham Gezeles. The question is, how many Asham Gezeles does he have to bring? He made 5 Tshuvas, so you have to bring 5 Ashamois Gezeles. Yeah. What happens if instead of saying to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each one, Shavua that I don't have a Pikudon from you, Shavua I don't have a Pikudon from you, Shavua I don't have a Pikudon from you, he said only one time Shavua, and he said to each one of them, Shavua loy bezu, loy lezu, loy lezu, loy lezu, I don't have the Pikudon, not of yours, and of yours, and of yours, and of yours. So he only said the word Shavua once, but he said, zu, 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 multiple times. Is a machloikis then whether you have to bring one carbon or multiple carbonis? And if Shimon is the one that says you only bring one carbon because he only used the word shvua once, even though he said lezu many times, only one carbon. Says Yimar, the same thing applies in our Mishnah. When he says iskach v'tamarizu, each one is a separate maise kedushin. Since each one is a separate maise kedushin, you have to look at each date individually. If this date is worth a Shavu Pruta, Mikudeshes. If it's not worth a Shavu Pruta, Ain Mikudeshes. And I don't total them together. Masha Enkein in the Sefer, when he said, Bizu, 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 then you do add them all up together, just like Reb Shimon says by Shavuos, you'd only have to bring one carbon Asham Gezeles, because it was only one Shavua. See, there was only one Maisa Kedushin, and the Maisa Kedushin includes all of these dates. So if all the dates together were the Shavua Pruta, Mikudeshes. It's Omer Rab, Reb Shimoni, the Omer Ashiya Mishvul, Lechol Echad V'Yachad. So that's quite straightforward. Now we go to the final case in the Mishnah about the Hoysa Eichelis. Bezu, 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 Yesh Bekun, Shavua Pruta, Bechuli, Ahai. This case of the Hoysa Eichelis, where is it going on? Now remember, what is the fact pattern by the Hoysei Chalas? All we know is that the Chosen gave her tomorrow's. We don't know whether it was a Reisha case where he said Iskachali Bezu, or whether it was a Sefer case, that's the middle case of the Mishnah, where he said Iskachali Bezu, 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 Bezu. We don't know what he said. But one thing we do know, that as she got the tomorrow's, she ate them one by one. Says the Mishnah, in the Mekadeshus, unless at least one of them had a Shavu Pruta. Now, on the surface, this sounds very much like the Reisha, because in the Reisha we said, if you say Iskachli Bezu, and Yish Ba'achas Mehen Shavu Pruta Mekadeshus. Here too, he says, Achei Ba'achas Mehen Shavu Pruta, then you Mekadeshus. So it sounds like the first case. But if it's the first case, then why do we talk about that she's eating, even if she didn't eat? The Reisha already told us. These are separate Maisa Kedushins, and therefore each one, you look at each tomorrow individually. Is it worth a Shavu Pruta? So what is the Sefer adding by saying that Hoysa Eichelis Rishayna Rishayna? And if you're going to tell me that this is really a following up on the middle case in the Mishnah, where he said, Iskachli Bezu, 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 and he keeps on giving her another one, and she eats it all up. So what did the Mishnah say? And Yeshava Pruta Bekulan Mekudeshes, if all of them together are Yeshava Pruta Mekudeshes, then why does it say over here that when she ate them, then you have to look at Achieb Achas Mehen Yeshava Pruta? So that's what the Gemara is going to deal with. Dr. Gemara Ahai, which case is the third case modifying? Ilay Maresha. My iria oicheles a film anachas nami. Do iskadshuli bezuka amar. After all, the Reish is talking about that he said on each individual tomorrow, iskadshuli bezu, iskadshuli bezu, iskadshuli bezu. So we said that at least one of them has to be worth a shavu pruta for the condition to be chal. So the fact that she ate them in the sefer is chaloy malav loy moirid, because we've already said, and it's really a kal v'chaymer. Madach in the first case of the Mishnah, where she didn't eat them, so all of these tamaris have piled up. She has now 5 pounds of these dates, all of which together worth 10 shavaprutas, maybe 100 shavaprutas, right? Because there's so many altogether. We say she's Einam Mekudeshes because he said, Hiskachali Bezu, Hiskachali Bezu. Then certainly in the Sefer where she ate it up and I don't even have any dates left except for the final date when he finally gave it to her, then certainly ain't mikudeshes. I don't even have anything to go and point to and say he gave kesef kedushin. She ate it all up. So for menachas dami means even if she just left it there and she didn't eat it, that same halacha applies. It's kachli bezukamar, like the ratio of the Mishnah. Elam, are you going to tell me that it's talking about aseifa that? It's talking about when he said iskachli bezu 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 bezu, and as long as she ate one, going back to Nisha, if she ate one, and that one of, in other words, she ate numerous, but the Mishnah says oisachelus rishayna rishayna, ain't the mekadesh that she had ba'achas mehen shavapruta. If at least one of them is worth a shavapruta, she's mekadeshes. So frey timora vafilu bekamaisa. Are you going to tell me even if the first one was worth a shavapruta, she's mekadeshes? Vamilvihi. It's a milva. What does anyone mean that it's a milva? So Rashi explains, because of the fact that he gave her 20 or 50 tamaris, and he's speaking and he's saying, iskachli bezu, ubezu, 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 and the whole thing takes him 5 minutes or 10 minutes to dispense all of the dates. Why does he keep on saying bezu, bezu, bezu? His intentions are that the Maisei Kedushin should only end when he hands over that final date. That's, he only said one time, Hariat Mekudeshes Li, Betmorizu, Ubizu, 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 and therefore he only is going to finish off the words, Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, 10 minutes later after the last, Bizu. So it's all one long Maisei Kedushin. If she ate up the first 1, 2, 3, 4 tomorrow, and the first one, or the second one, or the third one, was worth a Shava Pruta, by the time he finished the Maisei Kedushin, these tamaris no longer exist because she's already eaten them up. And therefore she owes now money for eating up his tamarim. It's what we would call a milva, because it doesn't belong to her until the very end of the Maisei Kedushin, 10 minutes later when he's finished dispensing all the tamaris. So in the interim when she's holding on to it, until the Maisei Kedushin ends, she has to return it. What happens if after the 99th tamar, before he hands over the 100th tamar, he says, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to go through with this after all. And I stop. Then she'd have to return all of those tamar. She can't eat them. It only belongs to her after he finishes the Kedas Moshe Yisrael, after he finishes the last bezu. So anything that she ate prior to that was just a milva. If it's just a milva, even though it was worth a shava pruta, how does it say in the Mishnah that she's mekudeshes? Amr b'yoychanan, harishulchan v'haribasa v'harisakin, v'ein lanu peh le'achol. The Bach adds the word peh. This is, of course, somewhat of a poetic, rhetorical statement. What Rabbi Yoychanan is saying is, the Tosis Rid explains that when you look at the Mishnah on the surface, it looks pretty straightforward. Goes like Reb Shimon, Iskachli Bezu, each one is separate, Iskachli Bezu, 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 then it's coiled all together as one, and if she eats it, then it depends on Shava Pruta. Sounds good. But then Rabbi Yochanan says, guess what? We're now analyzing the details of case number 3, and we don't even know where we're going. We don't know whether this is an extension or modification of the first case, or a modification or extension of the second case of the Mishnah. So, on the surface, when we walked into the wedding hall, we saw, wow, look at the beautiful tables, look at the beautiful servings, basar and sakin, and all the rest. But unfortunately, I just went to the dentist 5 minutes ago, and I can't chew anything. It's a shulchan shemalachim, a feast for a king, but I can't eat. My mouth is stuck. I got a problem with my, I have a toothache or whatever it is. So the point is that I don't understand how we're going to learn the Pshat in the Mishnah. So therefore, in fact, we're going to have two separate explanations. First explanation is Rabbi Shmuel Amar Chavayili Oilam Ad Reisha. It's going back on the Reisha. And it's telling us, not only in the case of Menachas, where she left all those tamarim, and she didn't eat anything, that we do not total them up and say, okay, we got 100 tamarim, they're worth $5, and therefore it's more than a Shavu Pruta. No. Since he said separate hiskachis, the Ikar Shavu Pruta in Eloi Loi, that we take each tamar and we have to make a separate assessment and appraisal. Is this tamar worth a Shavu Pruta? Mikoveshes. If not, not. Aval Oichelis, in the case where she eats, I might have thought, Hoyul Umekarvan Yasa, since he didn't just give her money, or just give her a ring, which is inedible, but he gave her food that she can go and put into her mouth, and so therefore, she's willing, if you will, to pay a service fee. Even though the tamar itself is only worth a half a pruta, but the fact that he unpacked it from the cellophane and gave it to her individually, and now she has in her hand, maybe that's worth a full shavu pruta to her, because now she has it and she can eat it. So I might have thought, that she would go and agree, even if each individual tamar is less than a shavu pruta. But to her, this is valuable. After all, as you know, kallahs generally fast on the day of their wedding. She is hungry, and now he's giving her tamar. She makes a boyer priya eitz, which everybody in the audience was able to answer amen. She was so happy to eat something. So because of that, kirvana, she will say it's worth to me more than a shavu pruta, and maybe mikudeshes. Kamash malam, that we do not say that svara, and we say that any one of them has to be worth at least a shavu pruta. But if you total them together, it's worthless, because he said, separate hiskachis, separate hiskachis. It's kamash malam. That's the first pshat. Rabbi Ami the Olam HaSeif, it's going on the second case of the Mishnah. When he says, be'achas mehen, he doesn't mean any one of the first, second, third, he means the final one. Why? Because all of the earlier ones, if she's eaten them up, that is not kiddushin, that's called a milva. Because until he finally gives her the 100th tamar, anything that he's given her until now is just b'chinas, hold on to it, and let's wait to see until I finish my kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Until that point, it's just you hold on to it like a pikadon or like a milv, and you're going to have to return it. But if the final one is worth a shavu pruta, then we're fine, because that means that right before he ended, Hariat Mekudeshes Libet tomorrow, zoo. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, that final one is a shavu pruta. She didn't eat it up. It's still there. She takes in her hand. She's going to have to wash her hands afterwards because dates are usually sticky. But the point is that then it's Mekudeshes. So the Chiddush of the Sefer is talking about Taka, a bezu case. And just like we said in the bezu case, in Yeshava Pruta, Mikudeshes, even if it's Pekulan, you add them all up together. And the Sefer is saying, no, you don't add them all up together, because she already ate up the first 99. But if the final one is worth the Shavu Pruta, it's a chut. He'll be Mekadesha with that final one, which is a Shavu Pruta, and everything is great. So all the earlier 99 that she ate up already will have the status of a Milva. The last one will have the status of a Shavu Pruta, and she's Mekudeshes with that final one. Omer Rava. So Rava said, based on this second pshat that we just heard now from Rabbani, Shema Minam Rabbani Klas, we can learn three halachas from Rabbani just told us. Shema mina mekadesh milva ena mekudeshes. That when you mekadesh with a milva, it's not mekudesh, and that's why all the earlier ones that she ate up are worthless vis-a-vis the kedusha, because it's just a milva. She has to return them until that final one. Oh, mekadesh milva mekudeshes. That's why the final one has to be worth the shava pruta. Ushma mina mekadesh milva upruta daita pruta.
She
hadn't had a chance to eat it. You can only eat it after you receive it. That final one she receives at the time that the chosid is finishing off the words Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. She's about to put it into her mouth, but he finished out the Maisa Kedusha and he's saying, this is the last one. Oh, as soon as he hands over the last one and she takes it, since it's worth the Shavu Pruta, it's like taking the ring on her finger. And therefore she's Mekudesh. Whether she eats it after that or not, that's up to her. I'm sorry?
What about the third Kamar, the third one as well? The same thing could apply to six, not only the last one.
No. That's a good question. And the answer is, it Rashi explained, because since he was kol of them all together, like the second case in the Mishnah, Kashi, Bazoo, 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 the Maisa Kedushin only ends when he gives the final one. In the Reisha, when he said Hiskachi multiple times, Hiskachi Bazu, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, that's one Maisa Kedushin. Hiskachi Bazu, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, that's another Maisa Kedushin. Then you look at each one, is it worth a Shavu Pruta? If he says Bazu, 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 then you gotta wait until the whole Hiskachi is over, which may be 10 minutes later, and all the prior ones that were given from number 1 through number 99 are at the moment the Torah's Milva. We're waiting to see, is he going to finally finish dispensing the final one and say Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and she'll say yes. Oh, and Mikudesh. If they're all still around, then like the second case in the Mishnah, we'll add them up to be worth a Shavu Pruta. But she unfortunately ate the first 99. So if the final one is Shavu Pruta, then that's fine. Then she agreed on the final one. That was the Shavu Pruta. He finished the Maisa Kedushin, and it's Chal. Ushma mina, I see from the Rav Ami that a mekadesh b'milva pruta daita pruta, because this in fact is a machlokes, whether you say data pruta or data al milva. And if you're talking about, let's talk a regular case. A regular case is that a chosid says to a kala, as you know, you owe me $100 because you owe me $100. I lent you $100 last month and you didn't give back. You owe me $100. I want to be mekadesh you with that $100, but everybody on the phone is going to scream, no, I'm a kaddish b'milva ain't a mekudeshes, because he has to give her money now on the spot. So he says, you know what, Sprinza, besides $100, I'm going to go and give you a tamura, one date, which is worth a shavu pruta. Now, logically one would say, if she says yes, why is she saying yes? Is it because of this lousy date, which is worth the Shavu Pruta, or is it because of the fact that he's moichel the $100 of the previous chayv? I would normally say, you know, the big money over here is $100 mechilas achayv, mechilas amilva, not the pruta. But Rav Ami says, no. Daita pruta, her mind is on the pruta, and therefore since, although the first 99 are all betoydas milva, but the 100th is betoydas matana for the Maisa Kedusha, that's what she's relying on, and that's the final one that clinches the Kedusha, and therefore she is Mekudeshes. And finally, Shmamina, the third halacha that I learned from this Rabami is that Mois Ba'alma Choizrin, that generally when we have a situation where you are dispensing monies slowly but surely, like in this Maisa Kedusha, if at the end things don't work out, you gotta give it all back. What do we mean? Let's not talk about tomorrow. Let's go and talk about money. The chosid says to the kala, I want to be mekadesh you with $100. But unfortunately, when I went to the ATM machine, they didn't have a $100 bill. They only had singles. And as you know, until now we have been single. Hopefully now we will be married. But I want to give you the singles. So she says, okay. And he starts dispensing $1 and $2 and $3 and $4, getting up to $99. When he gets up to $99, he says, you know what, Sprinza, I've had second thoughts. I'm really not interested after all. You know, we've been dating now for the last 8 years, and unfortunately it took us a long time to make a decision. I think we should date for another 3 years before we decide. And I changed my mind. What happens after the $99? she can she go and keep it, or does she have to give it back? Says Ravami, Shma Mina, Mois Bal Mechoizen, she has to give it back. Had he gone through the hundredth dollar, and he finished off the Hariyat Mekudesh Asli with these $100, because that's Moshe Yisrael, and she accepted it, then they'd be married, and she'd have to have a get. But since we didn't get to that $100, at $99, he said, stop the printing presses. I'm holding on to that final single, and both of us are going to remain single, because I have changed my mind. She has to return the money. Don't consider this to be a matana. And now the Gemara is going to focus, in fact, on that third halacha, which on the surface sounds pretty logical and straightforward. If he said, I'm being mekadesh with $100, and at the end of 99 he said, I changed my mind, so you have to give the money back. However, let's see. Itmar, ha-mekadesh ha-choisei. What happens if a person goes over to his own sister and says, I'm being mekadesh you. Here's a ring. Hariyat mekadesh asli mitvazu. Rav Omar, mois choisein, u-shmul Omar, mois matana. Both of them agree that, of course, ein kedushin toifsin b'chayavi krisus. You can't marry your own sister. It's impossible. What the Gemara is telling us is, what happens to that money? Can she keep it? Or does she have to give the money back? Rav says you have to give the money back, and that's consistent with Rav Ami that we just learned a moment ago. And Shmuel said, no, she can keep the money. Rav Amar Mois Choizrin, Odom Yedei Shei Kedushin Toifsin B'Choisei. Everybody knows you can't go and marry a sister. V'gomer V'nosel L'Shimpi Kodoyim. And therefore, why did he give her the money? He wanted her to hold it temporarily. He may have been going away for a business trip for a month, and therefore he figures, I don't want money to be hanging around. He gives her the money, and then in a month from now, he's going to come back to her and say, hey, Shprinza, remember that $100 that I gave you? Oh, sure, we're married. Come on, we're not married. We're a brother and sister. Please give the money back, and she has to give the money back. Why didn't he tell the Chatchil? Well, why did he do this whole deception? He should have said, I want you to hold on to $100 for me as I'm going to go away on a trip. So, he was afraid that she wouldn't go and take the money. So therefore he figured, this way, I know she'll take the money, she's not going to spend it, she's going to hold on to it, and when I get back, I'll ask her back, and she'll give it back to me. That's what Rav told. Shmuel, on the other hand, told, Shmuel Sava Mois Matana. Everybody knows you can't marry a sister. Therefore he's giving her a present. She may be embarrassed to go and take presents. After all, she says, my dear brother, I don't need your presence. Baruch Hashem, I have my own salary, I have my own income.
If she wanted to marry me, she wouldn't be embarrassed to say that she violated Torah principle right there.
So we're assuming that she went to a proper Beis Yaakov, and she knows that this is, the whole thing is just a comedy, that this is not real, because after all, everybody knows a boy and a girl, a brother and sister cannot get married, that's ridiculous. But if you want to go through this charade, I'm happy to take the money. What is now the effects? Say Shmuel, it's a matana. Since this whole charade was not was nonsensical, he meant it as a joke, and you can keep the money. So Ibazoi, why didn't he just give her the money? Why do we have to go through this whole charade? The answer is because he figured that she's not going to take the money from him. She's too proud, and she said, I don't need your money. That's why he gave it in such a charade fashion. So now, Shmuel obviously is different than the Rav Ami that we had at the top, the Mois Baal Mechoizen, so it's a machlokes. But now the Gemara is going to ask a couple of questions on Shmuel. Masiv Ravina, Hamafish Chalosai, Kemach, Einoi Chala, V'gezel B'yad Koyin. What's going on over here? As we all know, it says in the Pasuk, Reishis Arisi Seichem Chala Terimus Ruma, that when a person is baking a bread, a challah, whatever, and has enough flour, and there's a large dough, from that dough you have to go and be mafresh challah mino isa, and you have to give it to the kohen. What happens if this person, instead of being mafresh challah mino isa, was mafresh challah from the kemach? Even before they took the flour and added it to the water and made a dough, this baker took whatever percentage of the challah and gave it to the kohen. Says the Mishnah, Hamafish chala, chalosi kemach, einoi chala. This chala is worthless because it's got to be reishis harisei seichem. You can't go and give it from the dry flour. It's got to be the actual isa. Because we are koyin. Because we are koyin means, and the koyin has to give the kemach back. If he retains the kemach, then it's gezeilah. Frank Dimara, according to Shmuel that said that when you marry your sister, we all know it's nonsense, and the money is the Shumatana, for my guess we are Koyin. Name Adam Yadeshim of Rishon Chala Kemach. Everybody knows you can't go and give challah from kemach, from flour. But also the shematana, why can't the kohen hold on to it and keep it? And for the Gemara, mitzad ikar hadin, you're right. The kohen could keep it, according to Shmuel. But Shani Hossam, you know why we say that the kohen should give it back? Because we're worried about a kalkola. The nofik chorben mina. We could have a chorben that would arise. A chorben over here means that we could have a potential violation of law. Why? Because zimn di islek l'koyin pachas mi-chamesh revoyim kemach. We'll see in a moment that the minimum shear of an isa of kemach for purposes of giving challah is 5 revoyim. What does that mean? We'll see in another moment. V'hai, olish le b'hadi adoni. Since he started off with an isa of less than 5 revoyim kemach, it was patur min challah. But this kohen, when he received the additional kemach, he threw it in to make a larger isa, a larger dough. And now he mixed the two together. The less than 5/4, the less than chomish revoyim kemach, and he added the additional kemach that he just got as, quote-unquote, challah from someone who gave him that kemach. The kosover, and now, what's the din about this isa? The kohen will have to be mafresh challah min ha'isa. After he's mafresh it, he can go and keep it for himself. However, you have to be mafresh challah, otherwise this isa remains tevel. Shizokti Yimara, the kasover, he, the kohen, thinks, I don't have to be mafresh challah from this isa, because niskana isasai, that it's already mesukan. What means it's already mesukan? Vis-a-vis the chomesh revoyim, since it's less than chomesh revoyim, it's not mechuyev in challah. Vis-a-vis the new kemach that I've added, that already I gave as challah. Not I gave it, but the person who gave it to me was already mafresh challah. That's the kemach that I have that I'm adding. So that's already kusha. That was already mufresh. And therefore, what he's going to do is bake this whole isa. Now it's more than the minimum chamesh revoyim. And guess what? And it's mechuyev in challah, but he's going to think, I don't have to give challah. The Asi Lamechla B'Tivla, he's going to eat it B'Tevel, meaning without giving the challah. And therefore, that's the reason why we say, even though normally the kohen could keep it, just like the sister can keep it, here don't keep it because we're afraid that he will mistakenly assume that this kemach is proper challah that was mufresh and everything is great. Frank Timur, how do you say that? V'amris Odom Yedeshim Mafreshin Challah Kemach. Everybody knows you can't be mafresh challah kemach. And therefore, why do you think that the kohen thinks, oh, this is properly given challah, and therefore it's potter min challah? People know, but they know just the macro and not the micro. They don't know the details. And that is, he knows he's never received challah kemach in his life. He's already 85 years old. He's received challah thousands of times throughout his lifetime. He never receives challah. But Beini Yadav, the Sober Tamayu, he thinks that the reason is, Tamayu Mai, Mishum Tircha the Kohen, that the Torah was being nice to the Kohen. We don't want that the Kohen should go and get Kemach from all of his friends and neighbors, and now have to take the Kemach and make it into an Isa, make it into a dough. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I know what every person is going to do with the Kemach. He's going to make a dough. So let them make the dough first, and then be mafresh challah and isa, give some of that dough to the kohen. So all he has to do is finish the baking. But it's already been kneaded, it's already been mixed, all the ingredients are there, so I've freed the kohen from that additional tircha. However, in our case, the tircha the kohen, achilte, I was moichel, I said, fine, I'm happy to go and take maturis kemach, and I'll bake it, it's okay. And therefore he assumes that it is all kusha v'yusha, and that you don't have to give challah again. Why don't you go and say that the challah is takhe challah? Although the Gemara uses the expression truma, it's lav dafka, but it means is, why don't you say that the kohen can keep the kemach after all? He doesn't have to give it back. And just tell him, but don't eat it. You're not allowed to eat it until you're mafresh challah once again. Even though the original balabas that gave him the challah, they gave him the kemach, purportedly gave it to Maturis challah. It was not effective because you can't give challah kemach. But go and say, Kohen, you keep it. And since you're concerned about the kalkola that we just spoke about, go and tell him, give challah once again. And therefore hold on to it. So if you mara, why don't you go and say to every truma, let him keep it, but he shouldn't eat at Yoytzei le'achala mokem acher, until he gives challah again. Mi le'tanan, didn't we learn in a Mishnah? Min hanokav al she'en hanokav. Truma, le'toichal at Yoytzei le'truma, u'maisim mokem acher. We're talking about over here, you have two flower pots. One has a nekiv underneath, and therefore anything that grows in that flower pot is considered to be mechub le'karka, because it has that hole. And therefore it has din of truma de'oraisa. The other one does not have a hole, and therefore only has a din of truma midrama. What happens if a person gave truma from the nokov al she'ena nokov? That is not an effective truma, because the nokov is mechuyah midiraisa, and the ena nokov is only mechuyah midrabanan. So he's giving min hachiv al haptur, which doesn't work. But he already gave it to the kohen. So what should we do? The halach is truma, the kohen should hold on to it. This is good. However, the original balabas should not eat from the nokav or einan nokav at yoytzilat truma maisim makamacher until he gives brand new truma samaisus for the nokav and for the einan nokav, because what he did was not a good truma, but leave it as truma and go and be mafish truma yet once again. Zokti Morris, do the same thing over here. The balabas gave the kohen this kemach as Maturis Chala. Why do you say that the kohen has to give it back? Let him hold on to it, and just tell him, when you take this kemach and make it into an Isa, make sure that you give Chala again. Just like over here, by the case of Nokav, Shein and Nokav, this is Truma, and just give Truma again. When you're talking about two separate kelim, he will listen. In other words, when you're talking about two flower pots, Anokav, Shein and Nokav, and you explain to them, you know, what you did was improper, a person can accept. Oh, I can see what you mean. This has a nekiv, and therefore it's considered to be mechub lekark, and therefore it's Eretz Yisrael, truma midiraisa. Yeah. Ain't a nokov, it's a flower pot that just has a bottom, no holds over there. I hear your point, you know. Okay, fine, I'll give it again, no problem. But you go and give him the kemach, and he mixes the kemach together with other kemach, it's now in one mana, in one kli, to go and start telling him, well, this part of the kemach was less than 5/4, and that's why it was not mechuyev originally. But now you added the additional kemach, which was purportedly challah, and now you have a shear. You know, mister, you sound like you're a machmer that comes from Bnei Brak. I don't know where you're coming from. This was not a shear, and this was given as challah. Give me a break, and let me out of here. So we're afraid that he's not going to give challah again. That's why we say, give the kemach back, that we shouldn't have a problem. V'bo yiseima, and there's another pshat, why the kohen has to give this kemach back. But it's not because I'm worried about the kohen making a mistake, I'm worried about the original balbas making a mistake. And the Gemara is going to go through a very similar analysis to what we just said in the first pshat. V'bo yiseima. The oilam kohen metzisayis. The kohen will listen. The kasavar, what's the problem over here? Why are we telling the kohen to give back the kemach? It's not because we're worried about the kohen. We're worried about the balabayis. Why? Because some of balabayis niskana yisasai, by the fact that he gives the kemach to the kohen. If we're going to say to the kohen, you can keep the kemach, the original balabas will say, oh, you see, it must be good challah. If it wasn't good challah, he would have given it back to me. The fact that he retains the kemach is a siman that I gave challah properly, and he will not give a second time challah min ha'isa. The osel mechal tivla. And now when he makes an isa from the remaining kemach that he has, guess what? He's not going to go and give challah. He says, I already gave challah, and therefore he's going to eat a betevel. Frank Yimara, are you really worried about the balabayis making that mistake? Didn't you say before that everybody agrees that you know you can't go and give kemach as challah? You can only give challah in an isa. So why are you worried that he's going to go and figure that he was Yoitza? Says Imar, Yodea ve'en Yodea. The Balabas Yodea Shema Fishachalmi. He knows, you're right. I've never done this before. I've been baking bread and chalas and matzahs now for the last 50 years. I never ever gave kemach previously. However, ve'en Yodea the Sova. Ve'en Yodea, but he doesn't know the reason for it. The Sova, he thinks the reason is Tamamai Mishum Ticha Nekoyin, that the Torah is being nice to the Kahanim and saying to the Kahanim, you know, Kahanim, instead of getting the raw materials, the raw ingredients, we're now requiring the bakers to go and give you part of the dough. So that makes your life much easier. You don't have to go and prepare the dough. You don't have to knead the dough. You have everything prepared already. Zuch Gimor, Al Tircha the Koyin, Kibla Alei, my Koyin is accepted. Because I gave him the Kemach, and he said, okay, Shkoyach, fine, thank you very much. With that being the case, if he's Moichel on his Tircha, so I gave good Challah. And therefore I'm worried about the Tehevi, period. And therefore I'm worried about that he, the Balabas, is not going to give Challah a second time. That's why we tell him, give back the Kemach. Then the Balabas will realize he did not give effective Challah, and he'll give Challah a second time. And then we won't have a problem. Frankly, more of a Tehevi, Truma, the Yachsevi Yitroim. Why don't we go and tell him, Koyin, keep the Challah, keep the Kemach, and just tell the Balabas, you have to give a challah a second time. Didn't we learn the Mishnah? Mishnah Enochav al Enochav Truma v'yachzav yitroim. Even though what he did was improper, he gave from the Chiv al Haptur, and therefore the Truma was not an effective Truma. But we say Truma, leave it. V'yachzav yitroim should go and give Truma a second time. So why don't you do the same thing over here? Go and tell him, Koyin, keep the Kemach, and tell the Balabas, give a second time, just like in the knock of an Eina knock. And for the Gemara, who came to betray money toys, b'chad manolei toys. Don't you remember we already answered according to the first pshat that when you have in two separate flower pots, that's people say that's logical. I can understand this is chiv, this is p'tur. I'll do it again. But when you have in one mana, meaning you've mixed together the kemach from before and the kemach from the koyin that gave it back. Come on, I already gave challah. What's going on over here? And therefore, in one mana, we're assuming that the person will not accept this, and he's not going to go and give the truma or the chal. Freit yimara, and you're telling me b'chad man leitzoyis v'leitzoyis. But now we have another mishnah. Hatoyim kishus v'nim tzemara avatiyach v'nim tzeruach truma v'yachz v'yitroy. What is this all about? Person had kishus, some sort of vegetable, and he gave truma from it. V'nim tzemara, and then the koyin meets him the next day and said, oh, by the way, I had some of your kishas. I got to tell you, I had a stomachache the whole night. I had to take Pepto-Bismol and Melanta, and I had to call my gastroenterologist. It was pretty bad. It was all bitter. Avatiach, he gave truma from watermelon into Saruach, and it turned out that it was totally spoiled. And he's been burping the whole night, and he couldn't sleep, etc. What's it in, truma? It is an effective truma. V'yasudrim, you have to give truma a second time. Oh, so you see that when you tell a person you gave truma once but it was not valid, you give it a second time, he listens. And this is memona achas. You're talking about one avatiach. You're not talking about multiple avatiach or one kishas. Everything marshani also medaraisa truma alihi. Minatoida, it was a kosher truma. What do you mean it was a kosher truma? Mirabiloi, dimrabiloi, minayla trim in a raw, liyofish trumasi truma. How do I know that if you give bad, inferior product on good product, in other words, you have grain, most of the grain that you have is triple A. Unfortunately, some of the grain is triple Z, which means it's off the charts, it's no good. And he gave the bad on behalf, he gave to the coin the bad for the good. What's it in? Minatoid, it works. Shinemet says in the possible sister of chait barim chemes chalbim imanu, that don't have a chait when you're giving the chaylev. Chaylev means you're supposed to give the top notch, the fatty part of the tvua, you know, the triple A. Don't have a chait by giving triple Z. Chait imar many kodesh nesiyas chait bama. If you're going to tell me that when giving the triple Z it was not effective, so what's the chait? Just tell the minister it was not effective. You have to go and give from AAA. No good. Mikan, from this I see the Tehmin Rale Yovich and Truma, say Truma, even though Lichat Chilavada don't do it, but if you did it, It is effective min haTorah. Ah, that being the case, that's why the Gemara said that Yitrim b'yachsav Yitrim, I maybe loitzois, he won't listen to you, he won't give the truma a second time. Worse comes to worse, he didn't give the truma the second time. There's no kilku, because he gave the truma the first time. It was inferior truma. True. It was triple Z. But it works. So even though l'chadchali shouldn't have done that, I don't have to worry about that he won't be Torah a second time, because the first truma was also effective min hatayim. And with that, we've concluded the daf, but I told you that we're going to just quickly go over this inyan of the pochis mechomish revoim kemach, the 5/4. It's a very long Rashi, and the Rashi goes through some fairly complicated calculations as to what does this 5/4 mean. So we're going to try to go and do it a little bit simpler. For those of you that have an art scroll Gemara, I'm looking in the blue one, which is the one in Lashon Kodesh. I'm assuming that the red one has the same, the English one. There should be a chart there that shows the Eifa and the Sa'a and the Kav and the Loig and the Bein. We could go and expose. It's not here on this. You have to go back to 46B2.
B2.
So those of you who have it, it's great.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't have it, just please listen carefully or try to get hold of it in art school tomorrow. Anyway, the din of giving challah is that you have to go and give the amount of an oimer. What is the amount of an oimer? The Torah says, "Vo oimer asiris o eifahu." It is a tenth of an eifah. Okay, how much is an eifah? So you see in the chart that an eifah has in it 3 soim, and every soim has 6 kavin, so therefore you have 18 kavin, every kav has 4 lugin, so you have 72 lugin, and every lug has in it 6 bayim, it's a 432. But we don't have to go in all of those complicated cheshbonos. We only have to focus on kavin, because when we said in our Gemara that he had 5/4 kemach, it means 5/4 of a kav. Now 5/4 of a kav would mean 1.25, 1.25 kavim of kemach is the minimum for purposes of establishing an isa where you're mechuyev in chal. You notice, however, on this picture that it shows in the second line of the chart that under kavim, an eifa is 18 kavim, but since an oimer is a tenth, or oimer asiris eifahu, you only need a tenth of 18, and that gets you down to 1.8 kavin. Now 1.8 kavin is not the same as 1.25. The Chayyim Marit shouldn't have said you need 5/4. It should go and say that you need 5/4 is 1.25. Here you have to have 1.8. So you have to make a cheshbon how much that would be. But it wouldn't be 5/4. 5/4 is 1.25. But Rashi explains that this 1.8 that we have over here, which is accurate, because an eifa is 3 sa'a. Every sa'a has in it 6 kavim. So therefore, an eifa is 18 kavim. And the oimer is asira, so eifa, it's 1/10, 1.8. That's 100% correct. But that is based on the midborios. Midborios means the shiurim that were given in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Subsequently, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they took each one of the kavin and they made them larger. And since they made them larger, you no longer need 1.8, you need something smaller. How much did they add? Each time they added a shtus. And as you see in the bottom of the chart, see it says 6 midois midborios were converted to 5 midois yirushalmiois. And then years later, the midois yirushalmiois were converted to midois tzipoirios when they came to Tzipori. When was it they came to Tzipori? That was at the time of the Masadri Hashas, that is Masadri Mishnais, the Tanoim or Amiroim. People already lived at that time in Tzipori and or beyond. I know after the Chorban, they all lived in Bavel, so this is right before the Chorban, whatever. Anyway, bottom line is, again, Rashi makes a long cheshbon. We're going to try to truncate the cheshbon and do it very quickly. And that is, you started with 1.8 kavin midborios. Now we're going to go and increase the size of the kav, and by doing that, and we're doing it by a sixth, by a shtus. So if we divide 1.8 by 6, you get to 0.3, right? Because 3 times 6 is 18. So you get to 0.3. So now we're going to take that 1.8 and subtract the 0.3, and we're going to get down to 1.5. What we've done now is we've converted the 1.8 midbarios into 1.5 Yerushalmiyos. Why? Because since the kaven are larger in volume, therefore you no longer need 1.8, you only need 1.5. It would be as if today, when you buy a dozen eggs, they would tell you that eggs are no longer 12 in a package, we're now going to sell them a dozen, going to be, they say a baker's dozen is 13. Or they're going to go and say that we're going to sell a dozen, it's going to be 15 now. So then, automatically, if your recipe until now said you need 1.5 dozen eggs, until now 1.5 dozen eggs meant 12 eggs plus a half is 18. But now, once you're saying that there are 15 in a dozen, you don't have to give 1.5 times 15, you only have to give 1 plus another 3. So that's what's going on over here too. You don't need 1.8 kaven, you only need 1.5 kaven, because I made the kaven that much larger. How? By a sixth. Now what happens is, when they got to Tzipori, they decided to do the same thing again. So we take the 1.5 and divide it by 6. 6 into 15 is 2 times, right? That gives you 12. Leaves your remainder of 3, which means a half. So therefore, now what we're doing is we are deducting once again 0.25. Because 6 times 2, 5 gets you 6 times 2.5 would get you 15. So therefore we're going to reduce the 1.5 by 0.25, because we're converting from Yerushalmiyos to Tziporios, again by a sixth. 1.5 minus 0.25 gets you to 1.25. 1.25 is 1.25. Ah, that's what it says in our Gemara, that when you want to give challah, you have to go and give challah from kemach that is at least 5/4 of a kav. Why 5/4 of a kav? Because 5/4 of a kav originally was 1.8. It went down in Yerushalayim to 1.5, and it went down in Tzipori to 1.25. It's the same measure of kemach, it hasn't changed. It's just the kav has grown each time, that it's no longer like we gave in our example, 12 eggs in the dozen, it's now 15 eggs in the dozen, now it's 18 eggs in the dozen. So therefore you don't need 1.8 kaven, you only need 1.25, and that's the chomish revoyin that we had in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that he had less than chomish revoyin, then you're potter. Just to conclude this discussion, you have over here the 1.8. How many eggs is that? Going again on the chart, the number of eggs would be 43.2. 43 is begematria chala. Ches lamed hey is chala, and that's why you give chala from 43 bayim. What about the 0.2? So I once saw somewhere that there's a pasuk that says ha chala, and the hey is written with a small hey, a hey zira. So therefore it's not a big ha chala, big hey, which would mean add another 5, but you just add a 0.2, which is 1/5. That's 43.2. That would be the challah that we're talking about, the ha-challah. Challah is 43, bayim, and the small hay is the extra 0.2. Okay, that's the chedrin. Mitchum, tomorrow morning we continue on 8:05. Yes, the brother Shai.
Your Shai is much more sophisticated.